Well, good evening, any that have joined us since we began to sing those opening hymns. We're glad of your attendance this evening and trust that God will richly bless you coming to hear the message of the gospel. Now, before we turn to the Word of God and read from the Bible, because it is the Bible that we have come to preach, it's not a message of ours that we have come to tell, it's a message that comes from God. But before we do that, we also need his help. It is God that saves. So let's look to him and seek his blessing. Let us pray. Our Father, we come now again to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are again moved to think of the love of God that even though we were in our sins and lost and would have been lost for all eternity, has reached into thine own bosom, give thine own Son. And we thank thee that it was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, who was willing to take our place, bear our sin, and die for us, and rise again that he might be our Savior. Bless the Word of God as we read it now and preach it. We ask that some may respond and trust in Christ as we ask in his honored name. Amen. Now I want to take a reading from the Gospel of Luke this evening, the Gospel of Luke and chapter 23, and we are reading his account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. Luke 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, that's the people that were criminals, the malefactors. The word simply means an evildoer, somebody who has done unspeakably wicked and evil things. That's who they numbered the Lord Jesus with. The malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, that's his garments, and cast lots. I want us to understand from the Bible this evening a very simple, direct message, and it is this, that you and I need to have our sins forgiven if we are ever going to be with God in heaven. And the second thing I want to present to you is this, that the place where sins can be forgiven is right here where we have read. It is only because that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to Calvary and there was crucified for us and there bore our sins that we can have the forgiveness of sins and be in heaven. The first words that the Lord Jesus said when he was lifted up upon the cross were these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. On the one hand, that would teach me a very simple lesson, and it's this. This business of the forgiveness of sins must be the most important business that we could ever consider. God has done many things. But for all of those things that God has done, he has remained in heaven. Whenever God created the universe, he did it with a word. But he didn't leave heaven to do it. And you can think of all the different things that God has done. He judged the earth with a flood. He gave the law. He brought his people out of bondage in Egypt. And time and time and time again, God does many things, but he does them from heaven. but to forgive your sins and to forgive my sins, the Son of God left heaven and he came into this world and he went all the way to the cross. The cross was no mistake. The cross this day was no accident. It wasn't as if something went badly wrong when Jesus Christ was coming otherwise to help and to heal people. And somehow or other, things turned against him. And he couldn't help himself. But they took him and crucified him. No, that's not the way it was at all. The Lord Jesus came into our world. He came to help and to heal, but he came to die. He came to go to the cross. And this day, the journey of the Lord Jesus has reached its end. This is where he meant to be. And this is where he needed to be. To save us from our sins. To forgive us from all that we have done against God. The Lord Jesus must be nailed upon a cross. He must die for us. If ever our sins are going to be forgiven. So that's the first lesson that I learn about this great matter of salvation and the forgiveness of sin. That it took nothing less than the death of Jesus Christ for my sins to be forgiven. The second thing I learn is this, that no one else can do it. This is God's one offer. This is God's one way to have our sins forgiven. Now, why is it you and I need to have our sins forgiven? And maybe back up a little bit again and say, well, what is this thing called sin? Because it's a rather old-fashioned word nowadays. People would call it their choice. Other people would call it their business. It's none of your business. People would call it their lifestyle. Other people would say it's how I express myself. And all the while, God says it's sin. So what is sin? We can understand what sin is by going right back to the first sin. The Bible tells us that by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so the Bible teaches us that God put Adam and Eve in a beautiful garden. He gave them everything freely to eat, everything to enjoy. That's just what God is like. God is a giving God. We're going to discover as well, not only is God a giving God, but God is a forgiving God. We get, we forget. That's the nature of us. We just keep taking. Sometimes we don't even bow our head to thank God for the things that he's given us. We get and we forget. God gives and forgives. That's the nature of God. And God gave. And he gave them everything. He gave it free. He said, now there's one command, one requirement I have from you. Of all the trees that I've given you to freely eat, there's one. And you're not to eat of it. Now, God had created us so that we could love him. The flip side of that, of course, is that if we're able to love God, we're also able to hate him. To choose God, we can also reject him. To obey God, we can also disobey him. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. And rather than trust God and obey God, who had given them everything and had shown himself to be nothing but love and glorious, they turned away from God. They rebelled against God. They sinned the only way they could. Because there was only one command. There was only one tree they were not permitted to eat of. And the only way they could, they sinned against God. They disobeyed God's law. Now that is what sin is. And that is why we need to have our sins forgiven. If we are honest with ourselves, we know that we don't even need to read the Bible to know that we have sinned. We know that there is a standard. And we often fall short of that standard. I mean, it's a standard that we know we ought to live up to. It may not be that we know the standard of the Bible, the standard of God, which is perfect, but we do know that there is a standard that we fall short of. There are times when we walk away from a conversation and we know that we shouldn't have said that. It was unkind. It was untrue. It was unthoughtful. We really shouldn't have done that. We really shouldn't have taken that. And we know that because God has given us each an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. So that's what sin is. Sin is when we do not measure up to a standard. There are times that you do the right thing, but not often enough. And it's no use turning up and trying to say to God, well, on a number of occasions, I did the right thing. That's like going into a court and saying, yes, I understand, dear judge, that on 20 occasions, I was doing 150 kilometers an hour, but every other time I drove my car, I was driving at 60, well underneath the limit. So for all the times that I've driven at 60 kilometers an hour, I just want you to forget the 20 times that you have on record that I was doing 150. Now, it doesn't work that way. The judge will say, the times that you stayed at 60, you were just keeping the law. There's no badges for that. There's no pat on the back and well done. You're in here today to answer the charges for the times that you broke the law. And thus it is with God. And no matter how much we argue, no matter how much we might think, we know that we have sinned against God. We have not always lived up to His standard. Now, the problem is most of us think that God's standard is way, way down lower than it is. But even with that, we know that we've miserably failed. We have not met the standard of God. So why is it that we need forgiveness? Now, if you were stopped by an officer of the law and they showed you the speed that you were doing, it wouldn't be normal to say, but please, officer, would you forgive me? Because they would say to you, well, it's not my law. I've got a simple job. I've got a radar device. And you had a simple task to stay within the speed limit. It's really nothing to me, but you have broken the law. So I hope you see what that is. The police officer doesn't make the law. Their only job is to make sure that you keep the law. And so you don't ask for forgiveness. But when a child disobeys their mom or their dad, they do ask for forgiveness. Because it was mom who said, don't eat the cookies until after the meeting. It was dad who said, no more raiding the larder for the muffins. Wait till your mom gives them to you. And when you break the rule, you have broken a rule that your mom or your dad made. And so you need their forgiveness. And so it is with God. God is not a policeman or woman. God is a lawgiver. It is his law that we have broken. And that is why not only are we criminals in the eyes of God, we have broken the law, but we also need forgiveness from God because it is his law that we have broken. He is personally connected with the law. It is his law. They are his commandments that we have broken. Now, sometimes we can break the law without intending to. I mean, these modern cars. I could make the excuse and say, well, you know what? They've made them super silent and they're super smooth. If I showed you the first car that I drove, to get above 100 kilometers an hour would have been quite a feat. I mean, I nearly would have got a speeding fine just to prove that it got over that speed. I mean, you really needed to get to the top of a hill and give it a bit of a head start to get down there. And, well, then maybe at the bottom you could make it. But I mean, the modern cars, just blip the throttle and you're, oh. And we could say, look, I didn't intend to. Big straight road, late at night, need to get home. Super smooth vehicle. I didn't even realize it. I mean, my wife was talking to me. And we could have all excuses, and maybe it's true. We didn't intend to. But we still broke the law. And so there are many times that we sin against God, and we're not intending to sin against God. We get distracted. We break his law without knowing it. But there's a bigger problem than that. And right well we know it. There have been times when we've broken the law. We're criminals in the eyes of God. We discover it's his law that we've broken. So we need forgiveness, personal forgiveness from God, who we have sinned against. But we know there's times that we have broken the law because we actually hated God. We were defying him. Like the little child that looks the teacher in the eye and says, no, I'm not doing it. We have rebelled against him. So that is why we need forgiveness from God. But why is it we need forgiven at all? The reason is that our sin will take us down the Broadway and into hell. Our sin will have us stand one day before the great white throne, and because our sin is unforgiven, we shall be cast into the lake of fire forever. That's why you need to have your sins forgiven. And I want to say to the boys here, you need to have your sins forgiven. Girls, it's just the same for you. Every single girl in this room needs to have their sins forgiven. You're going to be in heaven. You might be sweet and smart, but you're a sinner. Can I say to all that have joined us, maybe from different countries, different cultures, no matter what you've been taught, the Bible says we need to have our sins forgiven if we're ever going to be in heaven. How can I have my sins forgiven then? Well, we've read. The Lord Jesus went to the cross. He took our sin. He paid its price so that we could have our sins forgiven. This is a wonderful message. Because what we could not do, he did for us. And the reason is given us a little later in the conversation between one of the thieves and the Lord Jesus. Well, about him, because the one thief's talking to the other thief and he's saying, this man named Jesus, he has never done anything wrong. He's the only one who has never sinned. The reason the Lord Jesus can help us is that he entered our world. He lived under God's law, and he never broke it. And the reason he never broke it is because he's not like you and I. Although he became a man, and is still a man, he is God, and was always God. And God cannot sin. And this one who is God and became a man, because he did not sin and cannot sin, became the answer for your sin and mine. And so God can forgive us for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, was wounded for your and my transgressions. The things that we have done against God, he was bruised for them. The Lord laid on him all of our sin. If you could imagine all of the sinners that have ever lived, and every single sin, let's maybe imagine it like a sandbag. I don't know if you've got floods around these parts, but sometimes when people have floods, they use sandbags to stop the water from flowing into their homes. So just imagine every sin was like a bag of sand. I cannot imagine the pile that I would have built up. What a weight. Just the weight of my sin. Now, it's heavier than that. Because my sin is so heavy that it would have landed me in hell forever, in the lake of fire. But just imagine it like those bags, all of us. The little children here have a little pile of sin, still enough to take you to hell. The older ones, a far larger pile. Put them all together, the sin of the whole world. And the Bible tells us that the Lord took all of that and it laid him on his Son, the Lord Jesus, at Calvary. And the Bible says that our Lord Jesus paid the price of it all. And that is why we can have our sins forgiven. The price of the forgiveness of our sins was paid when Jesus Christ shed his blood for us upon the cross. And to show that the price was accepted, God raised his Son from the dead and showed him alive. And they began to go out preaching peace through Jesus Christ. Through this man, they said, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because he died for us and he rose again. So, I'm preaching you tonight the place where forgiveness became possible, at the cross, when the Lord Jesus died for our sin. But I want to preach to you the place where it can become personal. The Lord Jesus was on a cross to make the forgiveness of sin possible for you and me. But let's go to another tree to think about how it can become personal. This was just a few weeks before the Lord Jesus went to the cross. He was coming towards the city of Jerusalem, but he was passing through another city called Jericho. And there was a little man up a tree whose name was Zacchaeus. And the Lord Jesus said that he had come that way to meet this man, to bring him salvation, and to forgive him of all his sins. What a wonderful day that was. Do you know that the Lord Jesus has you in this meeting to do the very same thing? Every one of you? He wants this very evening to save you and forgive all of your sins. See, how can that happen? Well, how did it happen for Zacchaeus? It became personal for him when he came down off the tree and received Christ. That's how you get saved. That's how you get the forgiveness of sin. Is when we come down in our hearts. The Bible calls that repentance. Acknowledging to God, I'm a sinner, I deserve to be in hell. And receiving the Lord Jesus by faith, trusting him for salvation. Salvation is the free gift of God. And just as you would reach out and take a gift, We can, by faith this very evening, reach out and trust the Lord Jesus, receive him as our Savior, and in him we receive the forgiveness of sins. And God cancels all of our sin. And he lets us go free. He gives us eternal life. And we can be in heaven. Why? Because our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. I say before I sit down, I remind everyone, you need to have your sins forgiven. The place that makes it possible is the cross, where Jesus bled and died and shed his blood to pay the price of forgiveness. The place where it becomes personal for you tonight is in O'Leary Hall, when you turn and trust in the Son of God, and you will be forgiven. You need to have your sins forgiven.